This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
People depend on e-commerce businesses, and many use ShipStation to manage their shipping. Last year, over 700 million shipping labels were printed by businesses using ShipStation. If you run a business that ships a lot of packages, save and get up to 90% off carrier rates with ShipStation. Go to ShipStation.com/program to sign up for your free trial. No credit card required, and you can cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com/program.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
God bless you all. It's always important to have discussions like the one we're about to have in times like these. And glad to have here with us right here in our very own New York, the president, and in fact, the first woman president of Union Theological Seminary. It's important too to note in this week, just before Holy Week, Dietrich Bonhoeffer went to Union. And it was at one point a dream of Dr. King's to teach at Union, as a matter of fact. So Union is a very important week. And Dr. King, of course, was martyred April 4th, Dietrich Bonhoeffer April 9th. So a lot of intersection there. We're very, very happy to have with us the president of Union Theological Seminary, Dr. Serene Jones. Dr. Jones, welcome to Make It Plain. How are you?
Well, thank you. And thank you for so much for this invitation to have a conversation. And you're right. Even just this week, looking at the anniversary of the death of Dr. King and of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, both two deeply faithful people who found themselves leaders in times of enormous social conflict. And both of them gave their lives, their lives were taken from them for what they said and stood for. And we're in very similar times these days. So,
well, let me ask you this. Are we as people of faith called at this time to consider the sacrifice they made and take up that very cross ourselves?
I think we're always called to take up the cross. And I think with both of them, they made decisions to be people who followed their values and the depths of their faith and took it where it needed to take them in order to speak out and be activated around making the world a better place. I don't think either one of them actually chose to die this way, chose to be killed, but they knew well that it was could be a consequence of the positions they took.
Wow.
So in that sense, all Christians are constantly called to take up our cross, not let the threat of what our values lead us to do stop us from following our deepest faith commitments.
No question about it. So let's talk about Union for a moment. We're seeing a lot of our educational institutions under attack. And some have been left with no choice but to roll back some of their curricula and some of their approach to things we've been approaching for some time, like DEI and other things. How is Union navigating that space? And is Union safe? Has Union been targeted at all by this backlash?
Mm-hmm. So our general approach, which we began talking about during the campaign and trying to situate how to be at Union and what Union's role can be if there was a, well, given the consequences of the election, whichever way. And we really have taken a principled position that the work that we're doing, we're going to continue to do. So we haven't made any changes to accommodate the situation. I think that as a seminary, while we are definitely part of the higher education world, we also have religious freedom protections, which we take very seriously, and think that that actually provides us with a platform that allows us to do public work that other more vulnerable communities might not be able to. We can hold events around faith-based positions on all of these executive orders and all of the policies and have some additional protections there.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. Speaking of events, you've been having conversations with communities around the country, haven't you?
Yes, I've been on the road a lot.
Tell us about that. And first of all, how that came about. What's been kind of your purpose in doing that?
Well, the most recent conversations I've been traveling have been by invitations from congregations who know of Union and know of my work as a theologian. In addition to being the president, I've also done a lot of writing and thinking theologically, reaching out and saying, will you come talk to us? Will you spend the weekend with us? Will you do workshops with us? We are at a loss as to how to be in this present moment, and we need some guidance. And one of my areas I work on is trauma. And I think a lot of congregations, specifically congregations that are in red areas that are blue congregations, are wrestling with just the sheer fear of the moment. So they need a pastoral word. They need a theological word. They need to be encouraged, given hope.
Mm.
So my most recent trip was to Amarillo, Fort Worth, and Little Rock. I did those three together. So talk about going to blue places in the midst of red spaces.
Right.
Wow.
So I'm sure we all would benefit. What is the pastoral word you offer at this moment, Dr. Jones?
You know, it always comes down to, I have many words and ways to talk about it, but it comes down to three things. I've shared from my perspective at this moment in time, our first concern always needs to be, as people of faith, looking for and taking care, protecting, uplifting the most vulnerable. That has to be our very first concern always. Who is being harmed by this, and how can we stop that and intervene and take action? The second thing I tell people to do is to speak their faith as loudly as they can, to not let fear shut their voices down, but never has there been a time when it's more important to speak. And then the third is to always be bridge builders, because as we know, in the days ahead, people are going to start falling, and they need people to catch them, people that they might not normally think would even be their friends. So we can't stop that process of building bridges, even though the bridge might not be coming from the other direction.
I love that. But you mentioned pastoral and theological. Obviously, with those three points you share, you're informed so theologically too, as well. I mean, I think one of the struggles, would you not agree, when we look at our faith today and we see those who use our faith to do the exact opposite, not necessarily to care for the least of us or to be concerned about those who are the least of us, but more about enriching the wealthy.
Absolutely. And that's why that first principle I share with people is, it's right there on every page of the gospel. It's right there on every page of the good book. In general, it is constantly the claim that our task as human community is to care first and foremost for the least of these, and to go there first. And that's a deep faith claim that runs counter to a lot of religious right Christians who, as you've said, it's kind of hard when you look at the policies they're supporting. You're thinking, now, where does that possibly come in relation to the Bible?
Right.
Was Jesus doing any of these things? No. So you got a pretty strong gospel to guide us here.
And you mentioned, and you've one of your books, of course, is about trauma and grace, folks. One of Dr. Jones's works. You say when you speak to congregations and you're on the road this way, you also deal with trauma as well. Talk to us a little bit like that and a little bit about the trauma that people are dealing with. Obviously, the least of us have trauma, but it sounds like even those who may not find themselves amongst the least, but trying to cope and maybe even practice the three principles. And I love to y'all. She just give us three. She can give us 10. So that's, we can do three things. And that's great. Some folks come in with 10, 12, 20 things. Dr. Jones is wonderful. She gives us three. And we just do that. for those who want to carry out the three, there's probably some trauma that they endure because of the very pushback. Talk to us about in these. I know you wrote your book a little while ago, but it's still relevant. Talk to us about trauma and grace and how, Lord have mercy, we can apply it today.
Yeah, well, I've done a lot of work over the years and just studying how trauma impacts people. And as you said, the impacts vary. I mean, there are communities that are traumatized by bombs falling on them and police showing up and throwing people randomly in jail and gun violence. And I think the mistake that people in some of the congregations I've been speaking to might make is that means that other people aren't experiencing trauma. And I've come to think that there's actually nobody walking around out there that doesn't have traumatic experiences in them that they haven't worked through, especially when you think of trauma even intergenerationally. What do they carry with them from the generations behind them? And if you're not aware of how trauma and traumatic triggers shut you down and make you just want to crawl under your covers and go away, not dealing with trauma can stop you dead in your tracks and make you completely ineffective. And when I'm saying go to the least of these, speak loudly, build bridges, that takes action, that takes confidence, that takes a sense of fearlessness and courage in the face of what's happening.
Yeah, that's very, very important. And is not doing those things in their own way a means of addressing trauma? I mean, is it something to be said when we keep things within and bottle them up and don't address them?
Yes.
Doesn't that prolong trauma when we don't speak out?
Absolutely. It's getting all blocked up in you, and it's just intensifying the consequences of trauma on your own body. I mean, you may think that not saying anything is going to keep you safe, but if you have a Christian word that needs to be spoken and you're not speaking it, it's all jammed up in you and it is not making you safe. It is, you know, it risks collapsing your very heart and soul.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at Aura.com/listen. That's AURA.com/listen.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Your third principle about Is there a prescription about us reaching out to others who may even differ from us? You know, when I first hear that, as a person of color, I think about those who are opposed, for example, to my freedom.
Yeah.
But that also means, too, for all of us in this diverse society, reaching out to other people like us, the immigrant, those of a different sexual orientation, not subjugating them, women, for that matter. I mean, this, you know, I know you recall, it's probably been about 10 years ago now, the phraseology of the war against women. As far as I'm concerned, it never stopped. People just don't say it as much.
Yeah.
So when you talk to other communities, how often do those issues come up and people struggling with embracing people of different cultures, different orientations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's what's interesting when you're like my own position as a person of faith would, if I were to articulate it politically, would be very progressive.
Right.
So what's interesting is when you reach out to a very conservative Christian to have the conversation, there's some differences that they're willing to touch upon, and there's some that are there that are huge areas that they're not willing to step towards. And so figuring those out. So for instance, they're happy to have a conversation about why we disagree on a woman's right to choose, mm-hmm. or on trans issues. It's harder to get them to talk about their position on economic issues and on race, because they're not even completely aware in themselves of how those forces of class and race are driving their political views and impacting the way they articulate their faith.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start going into those very personal and deep blockages, finding ways to dig through those and have an honest conversation is a challenge. And we don't train people in churches or even in seminaries enough about how to listen and how to have a conversation, what conflict resolution looks like, how you diffuse situations where the conversation risks being shut down and move it forward.
Yeah. You're right. We don't really do that. But for those who are curious, What are some points you would offer on that? How can people of faith do that and reach out?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest first step is getting over the fear and looking around you and actually having to deal with the reality that these people are either in your life, which that creates an avenue towards them, or you have no connection to anyone who disagrees with you. You might have to ask some questions about the bubble you've built around yourself and our nation right now, and the need to get out of our bubbles. And then I would say the most important thing is to be willing to actively listen and to affirm that even though you may not agree even by 20 miles close to their position, that you actually do hear them and you hear what they're saying, that you're listening to them, that you're not dismissing them as a caricature. And those simple dynamics of leaning forward to listen and then saying point blank, I hear what you're saying, and even say back to them what you've heard them say. I mean, it means a lot to, in building bridges, say, I hear you, you have this position on choice. And this is what your position is. I hear you saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear their position in your mouth. You're not agreeing with it, but you are giving it back to them as a way of saying, I am present to you. I hear what you're saying. And now here's my response to that. I want to know what you think about what my position is.
Yeah. In this hour too, this is really the work that needs to be done, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know that we can just all go to church, participate in our faith communities, and pretend as if there aren't these elephants in the room.
Yeah.
anymore. This is the real work that needs to be done, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, it's a sort of our whole nation needs to go through a massive cultural transformation. If we're going to turn this around, you know, the train is rolling down the tracks in a very scary direction, but it's rolling down the tracks because a majority of people have pushed it that way. And the way you start to change that pushing is you have to change the culture. You have to change. We have to change.
Yeah. Yeah. And if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be the church. It's going to be people of faith, ultimately.
That seems to be, and it has been historically, the place you can depend on actually having some grounds for articulating values.
Yeah.
And being driven by values that are, you know, as I always say, when these executive orders come out, I remind myself that, thank God, I am beholden to a higher power.
Yes. Yes, indeed, indeed. And so, Dr. Jones, back to Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther King, would you compare this moment we're in to the moments of their prime, the moments when they made their greatest decisions and sacrifices? Do you see any similarities?
There's so many similarities. And I think a lot has been written about the similarities to the Germany that Dietrich Bonhoeffer left Union to return to. Because he was seeing the rise of Hitler in the Third Reich and seeing very aggressive movement towards a totalitarian, oligarchic, fascist state. And I don't think he knew what the fullness of what he was walking into and where it would go eventually, but he was walking into the storm. And I think similarly, and this is true for all of us in our lives, King knew the position that he had to take. Years of organizing were behind it, and he knew he was walking into the storm. Mm-hmm. The clouds were dark and roaring, and they had been for generations. But did he fully comprehend what would come at him? It's hard to know what's coming at you. And I think we're in one of those moments right now is that storm is everywhere. Mm-hmm. And are we going to walk into it or not?
Yeah, yeah. You know, now that you said it out loud, you know what I just thought about? What they knew or didn't know. It may be a little bit worse now, because back then there wasn't the pervasiveness and ubiquitousness of cell phones spewing out disinformation every second. You know, I mean that's something that certainly people have to find ways to resist. I mean, it's if you're awakened to what's going on, and if you're a person of faith, when you're scrolling, you have to do it with a certain level of discernment. Otherwise, you really will be confused and not know what's happening.
Yeah, yeah, no. And I think people are also confused because, at least in my lifetime, and probably most people living today have never, it's not like we've been through what we're going through now before.
Yeah.
So the map for how you move through it with integrity and with your faith intact and with your sense of self and community strong, we don't have a map for it. When it comes to how you deal with these illegal executive orders that are coming out that are changing everything and destroying jobs and devastating communities. And we don't have that roadmap. So I think it will come to us. I see, and I'm in places where people are thinking together, building coalitions, but we're at right now at the kind of startled and starting to build stage.
Mm-hmm. And you are still traveling,
yes,
talking to people, or as the young people say, out here in these streets.
Yes.
Talking to people.
Yes. Talking as much as I can. I have to follow my own principles.
Yes. Yes. No. And it's very important at this moment, in the seat you hold.
Yeah.
That people see and hear from people like you.
Yeah. You also spend a lot of time talking to other particularly higher education and seminary leaders about what institutions should be doing, because it's not just individual actors or individual communities, it's institutions have a role to play. And are you going to roll up your institution and stick it in a bag and tie its string tight and hope you weather this? Or are you going to recognize what the institution's mission is, what its charter is, its call is, why it came into existence, and use those as the values for how you respond?
Yeah, yeah. A couple of years ago, as a matter of fact, a colleague of yours in Union, in the past couple of years, was saying to me that that there aren't as many people seeking theological education as there once were, and that there aren't even as many opportunities and faculty positions that exist as they once did. But might this be a moment for people to realize, wait a minute, we need not shelve this academic discipline any further. This academic discipline is probably needed now more than ever.
Yes, absolutely. So it's so interesting, this question. I think in theological education and seminary education, we have seen for the last 40 years a slow decline in enrollments and it parallels the slow decline of numbers of people going to churches and themselves. Last year and this year even more shockingly, we have seen our applications double. That has never happened before. So seeing those applications double is an indication that there is a new awareness and yearning for this theological education, for going to a place that's grappling head on with the storm.
Right, right. I find it interesting. I know some peers who've gotten advanced degrees in other fields, worked in corporate America, worked in law. And they say, Mark, I'm going to seminary. It's like, what happened? They can't do any, what they were doing just is no longer fulfilling. It's not fulfilling their soul, spirits, and minds, and they want to see, and not necessarily to be preachers, but to get some greater and deeper understanding of the relationship we ought to have with God and also the relationship we should have with others. So that's very, very important. Mm-hmm. Folks, Dr. Serene Jones is the president of Union Theological Seminary. It's an honor to have her, that historic institution here, right next door to Union, as you all know, is Riverside Church, where on April 4, 1967, Dr. King gave his great Vietnam address. And then 1 year later to the day, he lost his life. And as we said, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a student at Union. And there are a number of the greatest theologians who have studied and taught at Union Theological Seminary. So the seat which she holds is a great one and a legacy one. So we look forward to seeing you back out on the road and having these. And look, that's what she said. She's not sitting in an ivory tower either, y'all. Like, you know, some academicians sit in an ivory tower. She's out amongst the people, and that's important. And it continues the great legacy we know Union has. Dr. Jones, thank you. Also, her book, Trauma and Grace, among others. My MDiv alma mater was Howard University. And I spoke at their commencement address last year. And they had the first cohort of students with the dual masters, MDiv and MSW. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I saw that, I said, you know what? That's good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, years ago, we probably all should have done that. You know, we'd be even more prepared now. Would not agree. So, and I know you all have also have a new master's, I think, in social justice, I believe. Is that?
Yeah, we have a new one-year online master's in social justice that we created precisely for the kind of people you're talking about who have full-time jobs. They're not interested in seminary for a career path, but they're finding dissatisfaction in what they're doing, and they want to go deeper in their faith and deeper in just thinking about the spirituality of justice. We also have two programs, with one with Columbia and one with Hunter, where you do the joint MDiv MSW. And that is a very popular combination.
Okay.
nomination. But this MASJ, the Masters in Social Justice, all the courses are online in the evening. We've gotten a great response from all over the country of people who are precisely at the point that you're at, which is precisely at the point the congregations I'm visiting and myself am at, is they're saying, what is going on? Right. And I need to be in conversation with some people who are capable of thinking about this.
Right, right. And what is going on, and what saith the Lord?
Yeah.
In this moment, Jesus not being so abstract, but someone in Bonhoeffer's view, I had the German right, Stellvertrung,
yeah,
the co-sufferer. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I'm good. You're better than my German.
Well, thank you, Professor. The professor said, as a student, I said it well. So I appreciate it. I'm gonna take that back to my professor that you said I said it right.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Dr. Serene Jones, and again, folks, trauma and grace. Yes, 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 this is a moment. Trauma wasn't a word in the vernacular 40, 50 years ago, okay? Folks just powered through it, and that wasn't the healthiest thing to do. So, and many of us have had family members, parents and grandparents, who for whom trauma and the treatment of trauma was not even an option. So Trauma and Grace, we invite you to check that out. Union Theological Seminary's president, Dr. Serene Jones, such an honor to speak with you, Dr. Jones. Thank you for joining us here on Make It Plain.
And thank you for a wonderful conversation, and power to you, and onward we go.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.